Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Who has time for that?
Who has the time for
Who's got the time?
Like wind.
Wind and dust and all that things that come with it.
Hi, ghouls.
Hi, ghouls. It's almost October.
It's mid-September. Mid-September.
Today in LA, it's very autumnal. And
yeah.
I was just saying, the light was very... I have a cold, so I'm a little...
I can't even tell the difference in your voice, really.
Am I Yolanda-ing right now?
Was she always stuffed up?
No. She didn't even have that.
You could really lean into your Yolanda vibes, and you need to get like 5 IVs.
I hate being sick. I'm like...
Who
I'm
likes
always,
it?
Some people... Well, I don't...
Actually, that's true. Munchausen people.
No, but like, I'm always... I'm in denial when I'm sick.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm always like, when I'm starting to get sick, I'm like, I can beat this.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Then I'm in it and I'm like, this will only last 2 days. And the whole, and then I get more and more depressed with every day that it lasts beyond 2 days. Yeah, then you get strep. And then it's like 10 days later, you're just like still grossed out by your own sickness.
And you're like getting a Z-pack.
Yeah. Then I get like, I get always depressed by the end of sickness and like mad at my own body. And I'm
and you
like,
feel shame.
You're worthless for this.
Yeah.
I thought you were better than this.
I'm like, I just feel like if I have to miss work or something, like I just feel like shame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like being sick, you can't even enjoy your sick day.
No.
Because you're like, everyone's mad at me.
Yeah. And you're like, what if they don't believe me?
What if they don't believe me? But it's like, you know.
I believe you.
Thank you.
I believe sickness.
It's a little September cold.
Yeah, it's going around.
I was at CVS last week at the end of the week, and they were like, the pharmacist said, "Have you gotten your flu shot yet?" And I said, "Is it flu season already?" And she was like, "Yep. That's why I asked you."
Literally the day that flu shots become available, I'm first in line, ready to get my shot.
I love that.
I love a flu shot.
It is like the mark of like, ooh, the seasons are changing, you know?
Yeah.
When she asked me that, I felt a little, oh. And I loved like I felt the drama. Like I couldn't help myself. And I was like, is it flu season already?
It's drama.
It is drama.
It's super high stakes when it comes to the flu.
The flu is... I mean, we've talked about how I had swine. Like, it is not okay.
It's absolutely not okay.
Swine flu is not okay to get. If you have swine flu, like, I'm sorry.
When did you get swine flu?
Swine 09. when the pandemic was sweeping the globe, I had...
Fully Gwyneth.
I was contagion. I literally came to my... And I was on a swim team in college, and we all got it within a weekend. And we were all quarantined.
That's disgusting.
It was disgusting. It was... I mean, we had, like... It was like two people got it, and then like 50 of us got it. It was really
crazy. It's a contagion.
Yeah, it was wild. But it was like the first day was horrible, and then it was...
Then you're just like weak.
Then I was just watching like my best friend's wedding for 2 days.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Prime college and like high school is a real prime time to get sick and milk it for all it's worth.
Because you're like, I don't have any worries.
No, you're don't like, have shit to do.
No, now it's like if you're sick, it's... fucking awful.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I have to make money.
Yeah. I have to like do XYZ in order to live.
Yeah.
And it's so not... being sick becomes far less fun.
Did you go to the nurse's office a lot?
I would at boarding school.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I mean, being sick at boarding school was a troll because depending on how old you were in the program, like if you were really young and you didn't have any like dorm privileges, they'd put you in like a common like a room off the side of the main lodge. So you'd just like press a couch together and then like sleep on a couch that everyone's like sat and farted on. You couldn't talk to anyone. You'd just be in there all day. So it wasn't great to be sick.
Oh, God.
But then once you got like dorm privileges and you were trusted enough to be in the dorm alone, then I was always trying to like be sick.
God, the cot thing?
The cot thing was truly...
It's like Cabin Fever, like the movie.
Yeah, because I got sick like the first week that I got there. I got like a cold or something, but I was like truly like I cannot. I was throwing up and stuff. And like they were like, well, you just have to be in this side room. And I was like, I'd actually rather drown than ever go sick to bed at this.
Did you tell them that?
I was just like, this sucks.
Did you sleep there?
You sleep there all day. And until last light and when everyone's released at like 9 p.m. to go to the dorms for like nighttime.
Last light.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what they call it there?
Yeah. Whoa. You all gather, share some memories, and then like someone will play like a David Gray song and you like lay in a circle and sometimes they do facticles on you.
Really?
Yeah.
It's Suno!
They would have smush piles. So, which were like... You would smush like you would just like lay and cuddle with your friends.
That's
like
nice.
Pillows. Yeah. And girls had to do with girls, boys had to do with boys.
You really?
Yeah.
The boys
there
had
was
to do
no
it?
Cross gender
right.
smush piles.
But the boys did it?
Oh, the boys were like laying all over each other at that school.
That's kinda nice.
It was nice. It's weird to me coming from Oklahoma where I knew like one gay person and then just seeing all that, I was like, what's going on?
I mean, I like that it's like sort of it's sort of like...
It's letting boys get in touch with their feelings
yeah.
and like okaying it to be physical with each other, which I really appreciate.
Like a straight guy can like be...
Can cuddle with his friend.
With his straight guy friend.
Yeah.
I love that.
It was cool.
I mean, we did like... I went on a retreat called mm-hmm. Kairos that we've talked about, I think.
Yeah.
Which was very like... guys singing together like all in one room just like kind of swaying back and forth like that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great. Not even from like a like just seeing like
from just like
camaraderie with I think it's okay to like be like we're all in this together boys, you know.
Yeah.
It's like there's nothing gay about it. It's mm-hmm. just like we're just friends.
Broadening like masculine behavior to include cuddling with a friend that you have very like affectionate, friendly feelings towards is great.
It is great. And like when girls can do that with each other and like especially in that time, it must be really nice because like everyone's so like, I feel like high school, it's hard to be.
No one is like, everyone's kinda, in traditional high school, I feel like you're just like fucking by that time.
Yeah.
Which people were also doing, but even though we weren't allowed to do that. But like,
but it's nice to have girls be like, have like kind of like a sisterhood thing going on. Mm-hmm. Like we're all like, you know what I mean?
It's us and then like the boys do their thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're over there.
It also kind of made it sexier when you were like hooking up with someone because you had to like go to such great lengths to like hide it and be secretive about it.
Yeah.
That it like really ups the sexual tension.
Did you have a boyfriend?
I had a boyfriend for a little bit.
Really?
Tyler.
Did you meet in secret?
We would meet in secret. We would like, there was a place on like the back deck behind like the main lodge where after Last Light, when everyone was released, we would like run back there and then just like make out like as hard as we could. And but you only had like 10 seconds before like a counselor would walk out or anyone would see you. So it was like a very good shadowy spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd like try and like sneak off to like talk. But you, if someone caught us even talking, we would get in trouble.
Wow.
Because once you start hanging out with a guy, if like a opposite sex people start hanging out with like each other too much, the counselors,
sex person,
like they'll make notes of it and then you'll be on watch and then you'll be put on bans from each other because they're trying to keep you apart.
Some Brave New World shit.
Yeah, then if you get caught, you'll get dishes. So then we started having to be like more clandestine about everything.
Were there any like same sex stuff going on?
Yeah, there was tons, but that really didn't get. Yeah, there some. A couple lesbians got caught.
It's like, but I'm a cheerleader. That movie.
Yeah, they were like two girls like hooking up in our like dorm wing, and they'd always go sick in bed together. And at first, it was just like, oh, like they are just like friends, like hanging out like intensely. But then it turned out they were like totally fucking.
Oh my god!
And like in a relationship. Then they got caught and like hardcore shamed for it. And it was like we had to have like a big forum that was like serious. And they didn't treat it like. They weren't in as public of trouble as you get in when you're like caught fucking like a girl's caught fucking a guy. So they and then tons of
gender treason.
It was gender treason. And then some guys, there was one guy that was like chronically getting in trouble for like hooking up with other guys, even though he also like had a girlfriend. But like he wouldn't really get in as much trouble. It was just kind of like, what's wrong with you? And like, let's hushly talk about it in like forums and places. But like, same sex stuff was not dealt with in a very like constructive and positive way.
So it was like quietly ignorant.
It was quietly ignored and made out to be like almost like the most shameful thing you could do.
This school. So
just through the ignoring of it. Because if a hetero couple got caught hugging it'd be like, you're a fucking slut, like blah, 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 blah. And you'd be in so much trouble. You have work projects. You just get like made fun of all the time. And like, it was like a very public thing. But then like gay stuff was handled very less public and like more like just like serious.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Whoa. I mean, both are bad.
And they both were not allowed. Like, they were both against the rules. But, like, just...
They called you slut?
Yeah. They would call us, like, all sorts of names in forums and, like, workshops. Not just, like, walking around.
Wow.
But, like, I mean, they could say anything they wanted to you in, like, workshops and forums.
When you told me the name, I did do a quick Google search once. Mm-hmm. And there were, like, forums.
Oh, there's like Reddit forums. There's a big Facebook group that is in trend with all Facebook groups, a very babe gathering of survivors of the school. Things get devolve really quickly in there, but it's also fun to like kind of peek in. And
someday I hope you disclose all this stuff.
I know. Slowly working on it.
Should I not have said that?
No.
Oh.
I'm open about that.
Oh, okay.
My journey.
I was trying to be like, if only there was some kind of journey.
If only there was a medium under which you could express all these stories. Yeah.
That's wild. I mean, I went to an all-boys school, but like,
Yep. What did kids get in trouble for there?
I mean,
like drugs and stuff?
No, I mean, like we partied, but it was all like off campus.
Oh,
but,
okay.
I mean, we
you could leave.
Yeah, it was a day school, and like we were in like the city, so like you couldn't really hang there.
Yeah,
it's like there weren't like you couldn't go to like a bar or something. But and the campus was like, I mean, it was like a huge school on a small campus because it was like in North Philly, so it was like right in the hot of things, you know. Mm-hmm. And
we all wear blazers.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have like a little patch on the blazer?
No, it was like
a crest of any sort.
That was actually one cool thing, is like you could wear any kind of blazer that you wanted within reason, as long as it was a blazer. So mm-hmm. like the more like alternative guys would wear like cool like multicolor blazers.
Oh, cool.
I wasn't brave enough then, so I just wore like navy every day and
yeah,
khakis. Everyone wore Birkenstock clogs because it was technically like you had to wear nice shoes, but that like just
like closed-toed shoes,
yeah,
or something.
I wore Sperry's, and you had to wear a tie and a mm-hmm. button down. But yeah, guys, like they would inspect you when you were walking in. They had like one or two teachers or like the assistant dean waiting as greeting you as you walked in, and if they would either tell you to put your coat on or you'd get detention. And our detention was called JUG, which I believe stands for Justice Under God.
Whoa.
JUG was intense. I got JUG twice for Latin class because mm-hmm. I had a Latin teacher who was really intense. She was my queen, but she was very like she would yell at you if
yeah.
you got stuff wrong. She would go, no, no, no. She was amazing. She
I
was like
that.
She was so beautiful and just cool and like, she was amazing, but like people were afraid of her. But I think
you got her energy.
Well, I was also I transferred, so I was a you had to take Latin; it was mm-hmm. a requirement. So when I transferred, I had not taken Latin because I was a public school.
Yeah.
So I was in a freshman class for Latin as a junior.
Oh wow!
And I think she maybe felt bad for me, or she didn't. She like kind of had like
you were older.
Yeah.
Like,
so she kind of
wiser.
Like, yeah.
Than the
so
average
she,
bear in that class.
So she was, I think, maybe like extra nice to me. But there was one time where I got something wrong on a quiz. If you got stuff wrong on a quiz, she would give you detention. Like, she was... But, like, I remember it. Like, it was, like, that rote learning where they just drill it into your heads.
Yeah.
And then one time I forgot my book with a few other the freshmen, and we all got detention. And she kicked us out of the class.
Oh, I love that.
And she said, don't forget your book now. And I was like, Miss Morgan... I don't want to say her name, but I was like... I was like, teacher, please. And she was like, I'll see you in detention. And then I went to detention and she made me write, I will not forget my Latin book 300 times.
Oh my God.
And then I gave the paper to her and she
sentences.
She went, thanks, Gary. And then I left.
Did you ever forget your book again?
No.
Exactly.
Fuck no.
God.
She was a fearsome Latin teacher at an all boys Catholic school and did not take shit.
Yeah, that's how you have to be, I think.
Right?
If you're especially if you're in her position mm-hmm. teaching a bunch of like high school boys in an all boys school Latin.
She was great. And like
crack the whip.
And I learned. I think it actually like I don't remember it, but I feel like subconsciously I remember stuff.
Yeah. I had to take Latin too.
Yeah. But yeah, detention. But then like guys would get in trouble for like one this kid I was friends with one time. We had everyone hung out in the cafeteria before school started, and we had this huge cafeteria, and everyone was running to the cafeteria. They're like, tap, like, this kid's going to do this. And then we all went in, and he was chugging gallons of milk. He was trying to chug, like, a certain amount of time.
Was he doing that thing where it's like, how much milk can you drink?
Yeah.
Isn't there something where it's if you drink,
it's
you
impossible.
No one can drink this
yes,
much milk.
That's
in
what
this
it was.
Time.
And
okay.
I think he did it.
I feel like every single school has one guy that has done the milk.
Yeah,
challenge.
And he did it, and the teacher let him finish, and then he gave him detention, and everyone
cool.
was like, "Woo!" It was really, but like that kind of stuff happened.
The boys needed that.
There was like farting.
Yeah,
but like, and like we would have mass. We had this big cathedral attached to our school. It was the school. I think the school was built in the 1850s, so it was like really old. And there were 250 boys in each class, so it was 1,000 boys. And we were all in the church together during like mass during class one day.
Mm-hmm.
And you would just see like if you were sitting in the back, you would just see like the deans walking around, just going like that, just picking out people to send to detention. And they would get up and just leave. Like it was crazy. It was really fun, though.
That sounds fun.
And, like, it was...
just, like, boys being boys in, like, a all-boys environment.
I mean, there was bullying a little, but, like, I'd say everyone was pretty... I think maybe because there weren't girls, the guys didn't feel like they had to, like, impress. I mean, they still were being, like, guys with each other and, like, trying to outdo each other, but...
Yeah. People,
people were fairly sweet and my... Like, I don't know. It was a nice experience.
I see the, like, pros of separating boys and girls in school, in high school especially.
The girls that we were friends with were from our sister's school. I loved them, and they were so cool, and they were all so nice to each other. Mm-hmm. Like, they were just, like, truly close, and, like...
Because I think the second that you add boys into the mix, in a lot of situations, for young girls, it, like, just... It's, like, too much.
Yeah. And they, like, all, like... They said they all, like... Like, would show up to school with, like, just... Like, messy ponytails, and, like, were just, like, wearing, like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I think people were, like, wore their retainers. Like, no one cared.
Yeah.
So it was...
Where you can just, like, go and learn. Mm-hmm. You're not distracted by...
Yeah, they were all so smart.
Yeah. By, like, dick. And then on the weekends, you can, like, hang out with the guys that you like.
Yeah. We drank at, like, a field outside Philly.
Mm-hmm.
That overlooked Philly.
God, drinking in fields that overlook...
A city.
Things, yeah, is such a move.
Edgley.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was called. We had a place called The Dump, too.
The Dump, love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love, like, drinking. Yeah, there were lots of fields in Oklahoma that where everyone would just be like, we're going to the flats, or, like, wherever the fuck. I'm trying to remember, and I know I have readers that are friends from high school, so remind me of... the, like, drinking spots, because I can't remember the exact names, but it would be, like, everyone would then hop in their car, because we all drank and drove.
Love it.
And just, like, blast out into the middle of a field somewhere, and, like, set up. I don't know how...
We were
getting beer from, like...
How did we all...
Do you remember did you have gas stations that would just, like, sell you beer underage?
No, they didn't have that in Jersey.
We had, like... full-blown, like, we were, like, 14 years old and, like, going into certain gas stations, and they would just, like, sell us a 30 case.
We had people with fake IDs. I think in Philly there were some places like that, but, like, I remember one time there were, like, 12 of us guys, and it was Halloween, and we piled into my friend's car that, like, fit, like, 5 people, and there were, like, 12 people in this car. We drove over the bridge from Jersey into Pennsylvania to go to this field party, and we were all drunk, and it was like, I don't think the guy driving was, but, like, there were still, like, 12 people in the car, or, like,
you clown
at least it. 10 people in the car or something. I was like, and we made it somehow.
It's
but
insane.
So fun.
So fun.
So great.
When you live through it without any sort of, like, horrific trauma happening, it is so fun.
Yeah. It was, it was definitely, like, birthed some of my later things that would, like, cause my downfall, but it was still fun.
Yeah.
But speaking of parties, Caroline Calloway,
she is on a tear now.
So, unfortunately, she gave us the news that her father passed away last week.
Yeah.
Did we talk about this?
Yeah. On the day that the podcast came out, the first message I got that morning was a message from a reader who said her father died.
So she posted about it.
So she's been posting about it, posting through the entire ordeal.
The post itself was like, it was literally like, so, dad died. And, like, that's how it starts.
Yeah.
Which is, like, I'm not, like, shaming her and how she shared it.
No, I think it's, like...
But it was just very dramatic.
I think it's kind of still cool.
You're still Team Caroline.
I'm still Team Caroline. I don't know. I just, like, don't know what to make of this...
new path?
I don't know if it's, like... I don't know, because I don't know her. So I feel like... I want to give her the benefit of the doubt and be like, this is how she's processing.
Yeah.
It's like punk and kind of like this like neo sharing on Instagram.
Right.
But at the same time, I mean, you kind of lose me once it's like, she lost me at like drug references. Like when she started talking about like doing coke and all that stuff, I was just like, okay, like you're like, this isn't like a Bret Easton Ellis novel.
She was like crowdsourced. So she goes to Harvard, I guess maybe because her dad went there, she said.
Her dad went there.
So she went to Harvard this weekend, I guess, to like reconnect with him or like find something that he wrote. Or
like a spirit, just like a spiritual reconnection journey, which I think is cool.
But then she goes to the Harvard Lampoon house to
She's
a party
terrorizing
there.
Harvard and snorting all their drugs and going on dates and just like living out loud.
She was posting like, if you know anyone who can give me acid or coke tonight, like, please share.
Acid, I just have like a real chip on my shoulder about coke because I think it's just trash. And so I really get mad at people for doing it, but that's more just like my own thing because I don't do it.
It is trash.
But like acid, I'm like, fuck yeah, get heady. So I'm a hypocrite. I'm a drug hypocrite. I can't imagine doing a bunch of acid after one of my parents passes away, though. That's like
that is Midsommar.
Shit. That's fully Midsommar.
That's truly Danny
in
Midsommar.
A strange location at Harvard. If I dropped acid at Harvard, I think I would be 5150'd.
With kids who are maybe 18?
Yeah, TBD.
She's like, what, 27?
Yeah, I think so. But
she's essentially partying with like teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
God bless her, but like she's posting, please,
if you have drugs,
send
like,
me coke.
Yeah.
So and then she posted last night, I successfully crowdsourced my drugs. Thanks, guys.
I'm just like, you're wild for this.
She's like, I have a coke hangover today, but I have a date with a cute boy at a museum at like 5.
Yeah, I'm kind of like experiencing a little bit of burnout, so I'm not checking as often.
I read.
No, yeah, I did. I read all that stuff.
I'm kind of like,
I think I've taken such a hard pro Caroline Calloway stance that now I don't want to be like proven wrong.
I kind of forgot about the Natalie piece.
Yeah, she's done a good job of like moving right along after that.
It's a little Trumpian.
She's going to write a response.
Caroline?
I think, yeah.
Oh, wow. We'll hope. Let's see.
I need her to write her response to that.
Yeah. How long will that take her?
I don't know. She said she's like...
Almost done?
Yeah. She said she was like turning it in last week.
She's probably been writing it for a while.
She's been writing it since she was born.
Yeah.
Just started furiously writing and like it's like a manifesto. I want her to write like a 350-page response. Like a 60,000, like a 80,000 word response.
What if like tomorrow she's like, JK, I wrote my book. And also I wrote another book that's 4,000 pages long. And it's like,
if she dropped a book right now, that would actually be the biggest power move of all time.
What if she releases like a Henry Darger kind of like
my struggle? You know, that book that's like so long. This like writer published a book called My Struggle.
No.
And it's like a crazy long, like kind of like a philosophical, just like long.
Isn't that what Hitler's book was called?
I thought his was called like Mein Kampf.
I know, but isn't
it? Is that My Struggle? Doesn't that mean My Struggle? I'm like, you know, this cool guy.
No, do you know Henry Darger? Simon told me.
Was he a painter?
Do you know that?
And he painted like little kids, right? And then all his paintings got famous after he was dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, because everyone was like, you're a perv. But actually his
paintings
were amazing.
But he wasn't. I don't think he was.
No, he has amazing paintings.
And he wrote thousands of pages of like an epic about, and you know that band, the Vivian Girls?
Mm-hmm.
They're from those were the name of his girl, like the children and his stories were called the Vivian Girls.
Oh, I love it.
And they were like both genders and like they were being hunted down by these like evil men and like it was all found, because remember that, what was that, Velvet Buzzsaw? The story was sort of like based on Henry Darger, because Simon told me about Henry Darger.
Love.
And then I did like, I read about him a lot. And yeah, if you should, if you're into that stuff, it's like really crazy story. And he was, I think he was gay, and like it was back in like the 40s. So it was like, he was really repressed, and then he died, and then his landlord or something found his manuscript and these amazing paintings that were so there. I mean, I think he was truly like, I think he was a little insane. Like, yeah. I think he had mental
they're
illness.
Very, they're like children dancing, like naked. I had a friend that had a Darger, and so I yeah. would see it at his house. They're really amazing.
They're like apocalyptic kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on.
Yeah, it was My Struggle. That was the book. It wasn't Mein Kampf. Yeah, they're very Midsommar.
They're super Midsommar. Anyway, but I feel like Caroline, maybe she'll have like a Henry Darger type like manuscript. Not saying that she's like him, but I'm just like something that she's been like doing for like years and we don't know about.
Yeah.
Not saying she's like him.
I want
everyone. I'm not saying.
Did
anything
you get
bad
Caroline Calloway blowback?
Did you?
I've gotten some. Yeah. Some anger.
Really?
Yeah, but also some people like wanting to like further engage in a conversation about her. The conversation's ongoing.
I think it's just she's a divisive figure.
Yeah, I hope that she ultimately is okay, and I'm just deciding to trust that like she's a woman with agency over her own actions.
She has autonomy.
And has autonomy and is like she's fine with the way she's handling herself, so therefore I'm fine with the way. I just don't like Coke.
Yeah, Coke is bad. Don't do Coke.
Coke is terrible. Do literally anything else except for like heroin or fentanyl.
Coke made me a very bad person. Coke made me like, I turned into like a mangled tree. It just made me like, hey, like I just turned into this, like the bark of like an old tree.
You turned into the tree man.
I did. Like grandmother Willow.
I was just mean. And then I got allergic, and then I had horrible sinus infections every time I did it.
Oh, I don't miss the
nasal
drip.
I don't miss any part of it.
But I was
also people, it's not like a drug where you like act like, it's a very exclusive drug where it's like,
we're going in the bathroom.
Yeah. Like people that do it, like all gather.
Yeah.
And then like
and you
laugh
and
you're
know,
not invited.
No. And like when you're doing it, you know who else is doing it. And it's mm-hmm. like, we look, it's like,
it's your dirty secret with everyone.
Secret.
You feel like really special.
Uh huh.
Then like someone tells you their life story that they were like adopted.
Yeah.
Then you're like, oh my God, amazing.
And you're like, I'm a Taurus.
Yeah. And then like,
out of nowhere.
It's like a lot of false intimacy
yeah, and you're
in
like,
short bursts.
And then you're like, let's get a cab.
And if I'm going to have false intimacy, I want it to be on Molly and for like 4 hours.
Yeah. I mean,
none of it's really great, but if you have to do it, there is like a hierarchy.
Crowdsourcing for Coke too is just peak white privilege.
Yeah. And posting about it on social media, like in real time.
At Harvard
is like the ultimate, that is white privilege.
Yeah. I mean, it's wild to me. Speaking of drugs, Hustlers is, I saw it yesterday. I know you haven't seen it yet, so I don't want to spoil anything, but I just want to say, like, please go see this movie. It is so fucking good. It was, I think it's like the movie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like an event, like a cultural event. And J-Lo is so good in this movie.
That's what I keep hearing, that she's going to win like an Oscar.
I kind of forgot it was her. Like, that's how like,
oh, good. That's like, when you know it's good.
Yeah. I like, she was so compelling. It was the perfect role for her. Cause I feel like she's been like, I love her rom-coms. Like, I watch like Monster Law on a Plane anytime I can get to
but
it.
They're not like the best rom-coms.
No,
they're
they don't.
Like a second tier rom-com. That's like,
also
kind
I
of,
saw Second Act.
Second Act is insane. I watched it based off of your recommendation or like non-recommendation. Cause you were like, this movie is actually bonkers.
It is.
It's a movie that makes zero sense.
Vanessa Hudgens in that movie is, there's a scene where she's reading a letter while in a coffee shop in London with a beret on.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I need to tell you about that movie.
Yeah.
It was written by like an algorithm.
Mm-hmm. It was written by AI.
It was written by bots.
It came out of like a computer in the basement of like whatever studio like made it. And it they were like, we have a draft. And then they were like, green light it. And green then light it. That was it.
It was like, yeah, it's wild. The 2001 A Space Odyssey robot that kills everyone wrote this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Leah Remini isn't even like, there's not enough Leah. There's anyway, that's another story. But J-Lo, I feel like she hasn't gotten to like sink her teeth into like, because she did like Out of Sight and like Selena. Like she was in some good movies.
Yeah.
And Geely. No.
She
The Cell
was primed. The Cell is incredible.
The Cell is such a good movie.
It's such a good movie.
And like so beautiful. It's such a beautiful movie.
Yeah, she is. She's been put in like some sort of box, but I'm glad to see that she's breaking out of it. I'm also psyched that she's 50 years old.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it, but there's...
All my queens are turning 50. Jennifer Aniston, J-Lo.
J-Lo's body is like, it's unreal. And her, just the way she, just her, like she just gets to, you remember why she's a star when you're watching this movie. She just has so much charisma and she just like, her swagger when she walks, like.
Also, everybody needs to Google J-Lo. I think it's J-Lo interview 1999. She gave this like wild interview.
Really?
And you can find it. It's like archived on the internet. It's either 1999, 2000, or 2001. But like, just Google like J-Lo controversial interview.
Whoa.
Because she basically was like, unapologetically, like, yeah, I'm gonna be a star. I know exactly what it takes, and I'm doing that, and I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm doing it. And was like fully just like brash, like doing that, where, you know, most like female stars are like, who, me? Like, mm-hmm. and like try and play like coy.
Yeah.
And she was just like, no nonsense. And no. The interviewer asked her to like weigh in on other famous actresses' careers, and she was like, picks bad roles, doesn't know how to do that. Like, very much, like, she has been...
an insider.
She's an insider who has been, like...
in the game.
Very much, like, actively a part of what she is doing. Like,
yeah.
Calculated, driven. And I think that it's cool because it also gets, like... I don't know, women get shit-talked so much for that kind of thing. But J-Lo...
she keeps it clamped down.
Yeah.
That's, I know, because she's kind of, she's in that strata now where she's like kind of like looking down on all of us kind of thing, where like they're so far away that like you don't really hear much about like, you know what I mean? Like she doesn't really let anything slip.
No.
I mean, she's, her and A-Rod have their like, that's a little,
I'm like,
that's a little sus, but.
What is A-Rod?
I don't know.
Like, I don't get it.
I don't really either.
I've never gotten it.
But as long as he's good to her.
I know.
But she, it just, it's such a good movie. The Constance Wu is great. Julia Stiles is really good in it, which I know we talked about it, but
we've
like...
we've had a lot of Julia conversations.
Julia was actually like, she has kind of a boring part like in on paper, but she does a lot with what she has, and it actually ends up being like an important character.
I'm into that.
I was into her in this movie.
I was ready for a Julia redemption.
I think it is. I think it was cool that she's in this movie because it's... but the support... like, Kiki Palmer is unbelievably funny in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Lily Reinhart from Riverdale is in it.
Lily is going
she's
to be
great.
A fucking star.
Her character is so good in this movie and, like, so believable. And then the girl from Handmaid's Tale is in it, who, with the one eye.
Oh, yeah. I love her.
She's great. I mean, Trace Lissette is in it. Mm-hmm. And she's looked amazing. It was so... Cardi B was fucking great. Like, it's just everyone was at
everyone
their best.
Killed it.
Lizzo was great. Like, I don't want to, like, spoil anything else, but, like...
okay. Well...
did you hear about J-Lo's the Fiona Apple thing?
No.
Okay, never mind.
I don't know anything.
Let me just tell you that there is...
you're keeping it zipped.
There was a part early on... we're just out of nowhere, and it's not even like...
I'm like about to go see this movie tonight, like, after we finish potting.
Yeah,
I'm like going to go to a midnight showing.
Go. It's like 2 hours spent well.
Yeah.
But like there was a part in the very beginning where literally the entire audience just erupted in applause. Like it was a movie where I was going, woo! Like I was like...
it wasn't even woo!
No,
it was just
like woo! Like
woo!
I was like, yes! Like
oh, I love that.
Like I kept turning to Simon and just going... like I was just like, yes. And there were these like women next to us, and they were like all drinking wine, and they were like, "Woo!" And at one point, the woman goes, "Don't even say that to me. Don't even say that to me."
I love like a group movie going experience.
It's like it's that
it
kind
was
of
electric
movie.
In the yeah. room.
Everyone felt it, and
wow, fuck,
it's so good.
Oh my god, I can't wait to see
yeah.
it.
But there's, I brought it up because there is like a drug thing in it, but I don't want to spoil anything. Just
no
go
spoilers.
See Hustlers. Pay
I'm
money.
I'm gonna see Hustlers, and then maybe next week we can circle back to yeah. the full Hustlers conversation.
But it kind of reminded me of the movie Widows, which I loved.
I've never seen
that. Oh, it's so good. Everyone watch Widows.
Okay, I was so on the fence because I heard such mixed things about it.
I loved
and then
it.
Ultimately, I was like, no, but it really is the kind of subject matter that I truly care and am passionate about.
Mainly of which is Viola Davis.
Yeah. Basically.
She's fucking great.
The well, only subject matter I care about.
Michelle Rodriguez is great in it. And like Elizabeth Debicki is amazing. And Cynthia Erivo from... She was in The Color Purple. It's such a good movie, and there's so many amazing supporting characters in it, and like Colin Farrell, it's great. Robert Duvall.
Wow, okay. Sold.
Simon's Brothers in it. It's great.
Double feature.
Yeah.
Widows, Hustlers.
It's great.
Both one word groups of ladies.
But it's I kept thinking about it when I was watching Hustlers, which is a good thing.
It's a comp title.
Mm-hmm.
Mage.
Amazing.
Speaking of people that aren't widows and aren't good at hustling.
The ghouls. Ugh. Tonight was a doozy.
Tonight was a difficult watch.
Yeah.
Things are really not coming together for the gallery ghouls. You think, like, you kind of start off the season thinking, like, maybe these ghouls are onto something.
No.
Then you pretty much realize that they're onto nothing.
They're, like, they're in, like, a vat of, like, amber or like maple syrup, and they're just like trying to get out
half-heartedly. Yeah,
they're trying to get up on the sides, but everything's covered in molasses. They keep falling back.
Yeah. Also, can we just have a moment of the theme song of this show is deceptively upbeat.
Yeah. I'm a
and a girl in the modern world. It's like so happy.
There must be a soundtrack to, like, because there were a few songs that I actually unironically was Shazamming.
Did it show you episode. What they were?
No,
I think that they're just studio mixes of, like,
yeah,
like they're ripoffs of songs that were popular in that era.
Yeah,
that like, maybe the Bravo studio band just like churned out.
There's a website that the guy who composes all the Housewives music has a site, and you can hear like the Beverly Hills, like dun 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Like all that was like,
yeah. And he was it a New York Times interview that he gave?
Yeah
that was a fascinating read. I mean, everybody, it had been on everyone's mind, like, who the fuck is doing this Vanderpump Rules
and you
music?
And you remember all like the music makes some of those scenes kind of like they're in your head when you think of those scenes.
Yeah, especially in Beverly Hills, like, it's, like, perfectly timed with dialogue. Mm-hmm. And then Vanderpump Rules, it was more about just, like, the shitty songs that, like, open up each scene.
Oh, my God. I'm walking down the street and I see her. Like, that kind of stuff.
It's like, don't tell me no. I only want to hear yes. It's just, like, fucking meaningless. It's an AI generated.
I told you I saw Billy Lee, right?
When?
Like 2 months ago.
Where?
At Sunset 8000.
Wow.
And I said, Billy.
What'd she say?
I said, I love you on the show.
What'd
she
say?
Thank you.
Oh, I love that.
And I was like, sorry if that was weird. She's like, no, it's like, thank you for saying that. And then like, she was with a friend and they like walked off.
Major.
But I was like, Bill.
Lee. Billy?
Yeah.
Hey.
Billy. Billy Lee. There you are.
I love you in the show.
I love you in the show.
That's a power move.
Yeah.
Then she like quit the show.
I know.
R.I.P. Billy Lee. You were ahead of your time.
She was. She didn't get the...
She didn't belong in that hetero mixture.
They were... Yeah, they were... It was not good for her to be there.
No.
But... So we start off with Alex telling Angela that he's come through and he's gotten her a venue.
He secured the venue.
And she his phone call was right before it was followed because she was I'm saying right now she was saying how she feels like she's being had been a bitch to him, and she's like, I feel guilty about like being bitchy to Alex about not
is good. It shows that she is a soul.
Yeah, but she's like scurrying around her apartment. She's like, oh,
she's always down. Scurrying around, yeah. Like frantic, mm-hmm. Trying on clothes, tulle skirts,
yeah.
Like everything's see-through.
She's late.
Yeah.
And then Alex calls and she's like, oh my God, Alex, I knew you'd come through to me. I've always loved you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay.
And he's like, great.
Great.
You're in a show in like someone's clothing store or like a shoe store.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of unclear.
Yeah.
But like, good for her. She's got the venue. So her art show is fully happening.
I said that, I think at this point she said, I really want people to see me as an it girl.
She really is hoping for that.
And I said, if you have to say that, then you're not an it girl.
No it girl has ever declared that they wanted to be an it girl.
No.
They've never even thought that they wanted to be an it girl.
And when they were an it girl, they didn't think they were it girls.
No, and they hated anyone that said that they were an it girl. They actually hated it.
Yeah. That's just, a moral of the story is, if you have to say out loud,
if you even have to think, I want to be an it girl, you'll never be an it girl.
You are 100% not the it girl.
Yeah.
The
you
it girls,
may be able to hire a publicist to make you an it girl, but you will never truly in your soul be an it girl.
You will never be Chloe.
Mm-mm.
Chloe just was.
She just was, and people responded.
Corey Kennedy?
She just was.
She just was.
Sienna Miller?
She just was.
She just was.
Like, these are girls that just come out of the dark,
dressed do their in thing. God knows what. In Sienna's case, it was just like a boho belt.
Just a belt.
It was really a...
with literally nothing else.
A defining moment was this, like, boho belt. Like, what? Moroccan-looking belt.
Uh-huh.
Like, that with, like, all bunch of round circles with little, like, metal peaked in. And then
I
bought one at Urban Outfitters.
Because I saw Sienna Miller wearing a belt.
I saw Sienna Miller's boho belt, and then I bought one. And then I wore a skirt as a dress. And then I tied the belt around the waist, and I felt extremely Sienna.
I love that.
But at the end of the day, I realized I'll never be Sienna Miller.
No. The Olsen girls, they've always been it girls.
They were born it girls.
I mean, they had a leg up, but still, they're still it girls.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Angela.
Sorry, Angela. Claudia gets into a cab and fields a phone call from Chantal, who goes, I'm going to be a little late. And we find out that Claudia is on her way to meet with Suck Lord.
Okay. I wrote, Suck Lord looks like Edward Furlong.
He totally has a Furlong vibe. Yeah.
He also is an incel.
I kind of love Suck Lord.
I do too.
Like, I was like, Suck Lord is cool.
I take that back. I think Suck Lord fucks a lot.
He's fuck lord.
Yeah. He's like the lord of fuck.
He's fucking left and right. And also, he's like actually doing something with his
life. I know.
Like, and he's like making things and selling them.
So Chantal has to go by herself to his like studio in Lower East Side or something. And it's like, just has like, he basically makes like, he finds like trash toys, mm-hmm. and like repurposes them into art and like dresses them up and like kind of stages them, and like it's actually kind of cool.
It's cool. Like,
it's not my vibe.
It's not super my vibe either, but like I understand why it's cool. And then like I'm sure that there's something that Suck Lord makes that I would like to buy.
He has a cult. It's so basically they're like, they're gonna, EOC is failing.
EOC is underwater. They're drowning in the abyss of their own business failure, and like also they owe a lot of money.
So Chantal has hatched his plan. So Suck Lord is like a cult artist, and you know, he has a huge rabid fan base, and so they're thinking like, we'll do a trunk show for Suck Lord. He takes over EOC and has all his fans come,
and they'll buy stuff, and then maybe we can like pay our lighting bill.
But it's actually like, I have to give it to Chantal, because she...
That was a smart idea.
I feel like she sort of understood, like, influencer before it was really, like, a thing. And she was like, she says, he's big on Instagram. And, like, I think she... And Claudia was so, like...
She was really rude about it.
The whole time he's like, she's like, our customers, I feel like they're not going to get it. And I'm like, first of all, what customers?
Yeah.
Like, do you?
Like, I don't know if this speaks to our base. I'm afraid it's going to alienate it. And it's like, bitch, your base was alienated from the jump. You don't have a base.
You had a Paymon altar and that scared everyone away.
Yeah. Like, more people came to worship Paymon than they've come to see your art.
Yeah, Claudia did not get it. And this made me, like, I kind of understand Chantal being, like, so fed up with Claudia.
Because, like, Claudia's putting the cart before the horse in a lot of ways. It's like, you need to, like, and Sucklord's philosophy of, like, art really speaks to this, where he's like, I believe in making a lot of stuff and selling it for cheap rather than trying to sell, like, one big thing.
Yeah.
Which is, like, Claudia should have whipped out a notebook and written that down and then, like, meditated on that.
Yeah.
Because that is, like, look at him and then look at you. You have not sold a single thing. And you might be getting, like, highbrow, like, artists in your shop, but it kind of
no one buys anything
because no one's buying it.
Your parents' friends have to bring their weird friends from France over.
And they don't even
drunk.
Like it. They're like wine the bangles.
Drunk. They'll try on like a hat.
They want like a crazy piece of jewelry that's hideous. They don't want like a $7,000 painting.
So Claudia is just turning her nose up at Sucklord left and right.
And then Claudia's like, let's do something like Occupy Wall Street, which
that
I was like,
killed me.
I'm dead.
I was living. I remember they marched through when I was working at the Standard in 2012. Mm-hmm. Occupy Wall Street marched through. And, like, a huge mob of people came through, like, the meatpacking district.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was such a time. Like, that was happening.
It was,
like,
such a time.
I never went down there, but, like...
No, I didn't either. It kind of scared me.
No, it scared me, too. And the things I heard was, like,
it seemed like a lawless community. I would come to... I was doing micro problems at the time, so I would fly to New York to, like, meet with my writing partners, and, like, Occupy was going on.
But it was... If you think about it now, it's, like, sort of a...
It's wild that that happened.
Yeah, times were simpler back then, right?
Also, like, what happened to that? It's like people were really fired up, and then suddenly you never heard about it again.
Yeah, like, do they even talk about it, do you think, the people that were in it?
I don't know.
Write us.
Were you part of Occupy Wall
Street? I'm not judging. It just was like...
No, I'm curious because I was like... I mean, it did like start the conversation about like the 99% versus the 1%.
That's true.
That's been an ongoing conversational topic and like big...
I take that back.
A political topic of conversation ever since. So that's cool. But like... So like they went from like tent cities, Burning Man to just like nothing.
Yeah.
Like where is Occupy?
Where have they all gone?
I don't know. If a lot of them are listening to this podcast, but if you are, welcome.
Were you
and
raptured?
I stand with you.
They were raptured.
They were fully raptured.
They were leftovered.
I believe it.
Yeah. Like where they all one day they were, it was just over one day.
Yeah.
Who decided?
Weird. I don't know.
That was such a weird time.
It was
I remember
very
like,
weird.
I was bussing tables and I saw this, like, they were like, chanting stuff and they came through and like all the rich people eating at the Standard were just like looking over and like all these like European people and it was so weird and I was like what I was like, this is weird, I'm bussing tables, should I go join? Like I was like,
I quit
now. Oh my god, can you imagine?
Oh my god, that would have been, then you would have been able to tell me what the fuck happened to Occupy.
I know. Anyway, so he's
Claudia,
like,
has the brilliant idea that they're gonna do their own Occupy, which I'm also like, okay.
And Sucklord's like, I got some tricks up my sleeve, like he wants to bring in like an immersive kind of experience.
Yeah, he wants like a performance art and like a selling his merch.
She goes, I feel like Sucklord is too aggressive for the EOC customer base. I'm like, you don't have a customer base.
Also, have you met yourselves? Like, you are aggressive.
You are all terrifying.
You're terrorists.
But Chantal walks in and she's like being nice to him. And
Chantal loves Sucklord.
Chantal's tickled by Sucklord.
It's not like necessarily her cup of tea.
No.
But she just like game recognized game.
And she's trying to subtly be like, Claudia, like this guy is going to make us money. Like
yeah.
We need money. Like we need just fast. Like he is saying that he will turn over a lot of shit for us for cheap and we'll end up making a ton of money.
Yeah.
And Claudia's like, I don't know. And I'm like, do you want to have, I feel like she doesn't want to like actually do work.
Yeah. I think that she really believed that, like, if she
put up a painting on a wall, that people would be that,
like all of a sudden people were going to wander into this like random Lower East Side store and drop like $7,000 on a painting. I'm like, you have no concept of the world. Like, people are currently like occupying Wall Street and are like mad about this.
Yeah.
Like, about like extreme wealth and like blah, blah, blah. Like, you're just like out of touch, babe.
Chantal is ahead of her time.
Chantal knows things that other people don't know.
She's been gifted the power of the light by
Paimon.
By Paimon. Mm-hmm. Paimon was like, influencer.
Paimon was like, suck lord.
Suck lord. Call suck lord.
Yeah.
Brr. And she heard like trumpets blaring and she was like, she like called suck lord up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Chantal's now pulling all the strings.
Hail Paimon!
Hail Paimon!
We called to you, Paimon.
Hail Suck Lord!
Hail Suck Lord! Hail Paimon! We called to you, we looked into the stars and called to you, oh Paimon. Oh, great Suck Lord.
Paimon loves Suck Lord.
Oh, they are like...
Paimon's fully like glimmering Suck Lord. Yeah. Like Suck Lord.
Day 69.
He's like, he's seen those little like reflective like shimmers all over his weird railroad studio. Suck Lord's about to get Paimon'd.
Paimon, like, you know how he rides a camel?
Mm-hmm.
Him and Suck Lord are like riding a camel together.
Yeah.
Suck Lord is, he's showering himself in coins.
Everyone showered in coins by the end of this episode. Paimon wins again.
He does. So anyway, they agree. Claudia's like,
Chantal asks him if he can make Barbie dolls, which actually would have been a cool move on his part. Like, there's no reason not.
She's like, he's talking about Decepticons and like Transformers. I'm like, he's going to bring in a certain really demographic. Matter.
Whatever can do Suck to Lord make says, money.
Agree to it.
Yeah. Yes, Suck Lord.
Yes, Suck
okay,
Lord.
Okay, Suck Lord.
We bow to you, oh Suck Lord. So then...
Maggie is steaming stuff in her sad apartment and...
Her mom calls. She and her boyfriend Ryan from last week who said, make pretend
it's a vagina.
Make pretend the bowling ball is a vagina.
She's
going home for the weekend.
Yeah. And so Maggie's talking to her mom in a baby voice.
It's kind of cute. Her mom is like, when I'm going home, my mom's like, what food do you want me to make?
Yeah.
Her mom's like asking her and she's like, make sure you make
green bean casserole, which like, I love green bean casserole.
Yeah, for Ryan. And I was like, that sounds fucking good.
Yeah. I love green bean casserole.
Oh, my mom makes good casserole.
Casserole is delicious.
She makes like a squash with turkey sausage casserole, tomato. Dorothy, thank you.
I want a casserole.
I want a green bean casserole. I wrote green bird casserole.
Also, like, green bean casserole is so disgusting but easy to make. It's like a Campbell's soup and then like frozen green beans.
But it's like,
or like cans of green beans.
But it was kind of sweet because it's like, that's her comfort.
It's delicious.
It's like what you eat when you're at home.
I once made a green bean casserole like from scratch for like a boyfriend that I had in college. He was coming to visit me for like the first time we would ever like visit each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it took forever. And you know what? It wasn't as good as just like straight up green bean casserole from like canned foods. That shit's like, the bomb with some of that French onion, like, little
burritos.
Yeah, on top. Those,
yeah.
You just shake it. It's like a sodium bomb. It's just like so delicious.
It's comfort.
It's pure comfort. It's warm hug in a cruel world.
And she could easily make it, but she wants her mom to make it.
Yeah.
And that's all
when
you
a
want.
Mom makes it, it's way better.
Always. So Amy is having a dinner party up in the Upper East Side with her brother, who's like cute.
Her brother's cute. Her brothers are all younger than her, right?
Yeah.
They're like 13 years old.
No. He was drinking beer, so I think he's probably like 19.
Yeah. But it's so funny thinking of her being the oldest.
I didn't know. I thought she was an only child.
Yeah, she's the only girl. which makes sense.
She has two brothers.
Three brothers.
Three?
Yeah, there was a point where they showed, like, I thought it was three brothers.
Oh, yeah.
In the photo.
So Amy's having a dinner party. She's invited all the girls and her brother. She's like, my brother, he's a great chef. So I thought, get to work.
Yeah.
So they're cooking away in her nice-ass apartment on the Upper East Side.
She's like, I have margaritas. I have red wine. I have white wine. I have whatever you want.
Come on, come all. That's Amy's apartment. And then later, we'll all go down to Dorian's.
Yeah. She's just, like, really trying. She's, like, saw what Carrie did with, like, her party. And she's like, wait, I can do this.
Yeah, that was totally what it was.
But Claudia and Chantal.
They both call. First of all, Chantal calls and says, I'm feeling kind of sick. I can't come. And then Amy goes, okay, bye. And then Chantal goes, bye. And then they zoom in on the phone, and the call was only 16 seconds.
16 seconds? Wow.
Literally, it was Chantal like, hey, I'm not feeling well. I can't come. And Amy went, okay, feel better.
She was like, oh, we're really going to miss you. And then Chantal goes, okay, bye.
It was 16 seconds.
Oh, my God.
And then Claudia calls.
10 seconds later, Claudia calls and says the same thing.
And Amy's like, oh, those girls are probably together talking to each other right now. You know, what a coincidence.
Sick, I'm sure of it.
They've 10 seconds apart.
So
who's a girl to take me as a fool?
But I knew that other people would show up.
Well, then they sit down to dinner and it's only Amy and like her brother and his friends.
Yeah, that was kind of weird that the dinner, she's like, should we just start then? So like she threw the dinner party idea out totally.
Yeah.
But then they ate dinner and then the friends started showing up.
And then when the friends rolled in, I wrote, Amy, I said, the friends are rolling in. Amy gets the last laugh, bitch. The friends come pouring in. She has so many friends.
She brings a crowd. She has so many friends. All those nights blacking out at Dorian's have led to just like a full, robust social circle.
And like dinner is gone. They're not.
There was no dinner at the dinner party. It was more just like a booze party.
Yeah. They're not like, they were eating sad salads.
Yeah. And then orzo.
Yeah. And then it was suddenly just a party.
Yeah. Which is how it should be.
Amy looks so thrilled.
Amy has never been happier. Yeah, you just want people to show up.
Yeah.
The worst is having a party where no one shows up to it.
Have you ever had that happen?
I had that happen in like grade school. I think it was like maybe middle school or lower school. I had like a Halloween gathering. But then another girl was having a Halloween gathering and everyone went to hers. And then like, I think like two or three girls came to mine who's like, I don't know if their parents made them or they weren't invited to the other one, but we had fun.
Good.
But I knew like we had a lot of fun.
Fuck that other party.
Yeah. But it was like, I was like, oh damn.
What was the girl's name that had the party?
Danielle, who was actually ended up being one of my like best friends in middle school.
Oh
yeah.
Blessings to you, Danielle.
Blessings to you and yours. May you be showered with coins.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to think. I didn't really have parties.
I had like sleepovers.
My graduation party was very stressful for me. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to have one. My mom really wanted to have one.
Really? Graduation from high school?
Parties are stressful.
Yeah. But do you guys like, was it just like a gathering? And
no, it was like full, like there
like
was
renting out a location. Yeah.
No, it was in our backyard. It was in our house.
Did you tent something?
I think there
Did
was
you have a
tent.
Dance floor.
No, it was just like, it was like a very like elegant, like brunt. Like it was very, it was casual, but like it was, they had a catering thing. Wow. Like it was
a whole to do.
And I was just like, I mean, looking back, it was so nice. But at the time I was just like, and like people were down at the beach. So like a lot of people didn't come. And it was just like, I was like, no one likes me. And I just wanted to be like in my room sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
that's how it goes sometimes.
Right. It was really nice, mom. Cause she's probably going to hear this.
Mm-hmm.
She listens.
He loved it.
Big fan.
Huge fan of the party. Thank you.
Thanks, Dorothy.
Thanks, Dorothy, for throwing him the party.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
So then Angela shows up.
Angela shows up.
Angela shows up. If you invite Angela somewhere, she'll come.
She comes.
She's trying to be an it girl.
She's intent on being an it girl, and it girls show up.
They show up to the opening of an envelope.
So she treks all the way from Williamsburg.
And she literally, when she walks in, she goes, I just came here from Williamsburg.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
It's like, I hate that.
Yeah.
And then Angela says that she wants rich people at her opening, so she invited all the Manhattan girls.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And then she reveals that she didn't know that she needed to make prints for her gallery show.
That was great.
Yeah. I was like, did you think that you just like show up somewhere and your pictures are magically on the wall?
Yeah.
I guess so.
She and Claudia have magical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, oh no, they'll just be there.
It's so bizarre, because I'm also like, no one's gonna buy your like donut picks.
I would.
You would?
I'm just kidding. No, I wouldn't.
I mean, also it's like she has kind of like a know your price point issue because she's selling these prints for $500 a pop. That's like,
she should have done like 100.
Yeah. Max.
Maybe like 50.
Maybe, yeah. 100, 150.
If they'd been $50, they would have all been sold.
Yeah. And it would have at least, you would have made like, how many were there? 8? Like almost $500.
Yeah.
I mean, like, people on like Artsy and shit sell prints that aren't even like $500.
Yeah, it was,
that are actual like photographers. Like, it's like crazy.
It was
very misguided, the whole thing.
It was.
Everyone's clowning on Amy's parents' apartment.
I know. Angela is pretty, she's a little two-faced.
Yeah.
Because she's like, cut it. She's like, it's gaudy. It's not like my apartment. Everyone's like making fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
Amy brings Angela into her bedroom and she goes, this is where I sleep. Can you believe it?
Can you believe? I sleep here every night.
I sleep in this
I lay
bed.
My head on that pillow every night. I go to sleep. And then I wake up in the morning.
I wake up every morning. Isn't that a miracle? I wake up every morning.
It's a miracle.
Yeah.
If you're going to Dorian,
yes.
It's a miracle you're alive.
Well, literally.
As we know.
But I love that. This is where I sleep.
Where I sleep.
This is where I sleep. Do you love that?
Do you love it or do you love it?
I wake up, I go to sleep.
I sent off some telegraphs earlier.
Yeah. I don't remember
my
dreams.
Telegraph.
I haven't remembered a dream since, what, 1951? 2001? 1951, Amy. What? I didn't say that.
Who said that?
Who's here?
Someone's at the door.
There's a time travel in the mix, and it isn't me. Someone here slipped through a crack in time, and it's not me.
A wormhole opened up, and someone went through it.
But not me.
Here. Not me, I tell you. This is where I sleep.
I was born in
184, just like you.
Just like you, and just like
just
you.
Just like you, and just like you.
1984. Angela's on to her.
How is Amy going to get back?
What's her
plan?
She knows she's not getting back.
She'll never get back.
But she's like, I will bring 1951...
I'm going to have a dinner party.
I'm going to have a dinner party. No,
I'm
imagine
entertain.
That's what we
that's
did back
what
then.
Do.
I'll have to entertain.
Yeah.
Make a Manhattan.
She doesn't let the time travel element that she's stuck in a full different era.
Yeah. But she's got some.
She doesn't let it get her down.
She has comrades, though. She mm-hmm. has some comrades. The women that she lunched with, they're all scattered about, but they all like meet once a week and they're like, guys, what do we do?
Yeah.
What do we do?
Amy's like, there's nothing to be done. Martini, please.
And they're like, Amy. She goes, and one of them goes, I knew it, Amy. I knew you've been seduced by the era. And Amy goes, no, you're full of lies over there. I'm trying to get back just as much as you. And she's like, martini, please. Yes. And she's like, Amy, you want to stay in this era? You can say it. If you want to stay here, that's fine. But we're going back to 1951 where things were better and simpler back then. And Amy goes, don't you like it up here? Things are better. Things are brighter. They're freer here. I'm feeling it. I danced with a drag queen last week. Don't you see?
And I kind of liked
it. And they're like,
I can wear a peep toe in the day.
Oh, peep toe. Don't you like it? I can wear sleeves. I don't have to wear sleeves anymore.
Show
my shoulders. I want to stay in this time. I love it. I go down and I go out on the fire escape, you see? And they're like, you don't have a fire escape, Amy. And she's like, well, I climb up one down the street by the deli.
And I smoke a cigarette.
And I smoke a cigarette on the fire escape and I look out over the city lights and think, wow, this is where I belong.
This is what it's like to be an independent woman in the mix.
2011. This is where I was. The year of our Lord, 2007.
And they love it.
Yeah, and no, but like,
well, they don't actually love
they're
it.
They're trying to get back.
They
so
are trying to get back so bad.
But
and
Amy
they're like,
is like,
Amy, come
fully,
on,
like she's in 2011.
This is our lives now, ladies.
Yeah,
get used to it.
60 years from now, wouldn't you want to say that you knew what 60 years from now looked like?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, that's a good point, Amy.
Yeah, Amy is just like she's down to ride.
Yeah,
down to clown.
Down to clown. So. Carrie's there, Maggie's there, Liz.
Liz doesn't show up. And Amy invited her, but Liz ain't coming.
Yeah.
Liz is done with Amy.
That was a little mean.
Yeah. I get it, but I'm also like, you know.
Yeah, Liz is absent this episode.
Yeah, she makes like one brief appearance to like talk shit at Angela's photo show.
She was in Occupy Wall Street.
She was. She's
Liz
like leading
down.
The charge of yeah. Occupy.
She like tried
just
it.
To like get back at her dad.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's what happened.
She is. She's like, yeah, fuck you, dad.
In art class, our teacher told us to challenge ourselves this week. So I went down to Occupy.
And now I'm making Occupy art.
And she like stood up in the middle of her class to all the people who were like, don't like her. And she was like, hey, so not that any of you like even like know what's happening or like what the goings on. And like, you're all like so caught up in like this art school culture and you don't even see out of the bubble. But like, I'm going down to Occupy today and like, I'm going to like be challenged and bring it back into this classroom and you'll all see my art thing. And they're all like, okay, cool.
They're like, great.
Great. Have fun. She's like, okay, I'm leaving now.
All right, I'm leaving. I'm going to go to Occupy.
I'm going to Occupy. And they're all like, you just hear like the...
Just like pencils yeah. and like graphite on paper as they're like coloring in.
She's like,
yeah, so if anyone needs me, like...
If anyone needs me, just like BlackBerry me.
Yeah.
BBM me.
BBM me. It might not go through. I don't know what the cell service is down yeah. like at Occupy, but...
Reception might be
Reception is like kind of for the 1% anyways.
Yeah.
So like, it'd be interesting and challenging to see what it's like to be without a cell phone.
Yeah.
So if you can't get in touch with me, I'm like definitely at Occupy.
Don't know how long it's going to be. It could be a day. It could be like fucking life. It could be my
whole life. Who knows? I may never come back.
Yeah. So if anyone needs me, you know, can't get in touch with me. So you're just going to have to think about it.
She asked someone to like feed her dog for her.
Yeah. Hey.
She's like, hey, you. Yeah, you stepped on my painting the other day. Yeah. Will you feed my dog? I'm going to be at Occupy, so...
Yeah. I feel like we should, like...
Help each other.
I mean...
That's, like, what Occupy is all about.
It's all about community and, like, you know, coming together as people. And I feel like...
It'd be, like, really cool.
And then, like... I don't know if, like... I mean, I'm sure you all know, but, like, my dad is, like, not really a fan of Occupy... He told me. So, like, if he comes by, like, looking for me to the class, like, don't tell him where I am.
Yeah.
You know who my dad is. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
And there's, like, you hear, and no one says anything. And you hear, clop, 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 clop. And then you hear, clop, 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 clop. And she opens back the door and she goes, by the way, my art thing is like right there. So like, don't step on it.
Don't
just like leave it.
Just like try and watch where you walk.
Yeah.
When I'm not here, because don't I know that it. Some of you, and she looks over at that one guy.
Yeah. Some of you like to step on things that are yours.
Some of you get like a little sloppy.
And I'm sorry. Like, I know why.
I know that you're like not that aware of the space.
Yeah.
And like what's going on, but like that doesn't give you an excuse to like deface other people's work, their art.
Okay.
So, all right, I gotta go.
Anyways.
That is what she did.
It is.
So Liz went to Occupy, and when Bravo tried to call her to like get her to come film, she did the same thing to all the execs at Bravo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all just to like get her dad's attention.
This is all facade, she said to like the Bravo people.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to let you know, like what I learned at Occupy, like I'll never forget.
And like, honestly, what you're doing, I know you probably know this, but like it's your job. So you like have to do it, but it's like fake. So
this is fake.
This is all like nothing is real. Like you call it reality. It's not really reality.
I've seen reality. When I was at Occupy, like things happened and I saw it.
I saw things I'll never unsee and learn things I'll never unlearn.
And it, like, I'm so grateful.
So like if you want me to show up to like Angela's show, like I will, I guess. But like,
just know that I know it's fake.
I know it's fake.
And I know that you know it's fake. And like, we're in on this.
Yeah. So like,
let's get. Yeah.
We're on the same page.
We're in a community. Start acting like we're in a community.
So maybe like, I don't know, next time, like maybe send a camera crew down to capture something truly real and meaningful, like me at Occupy. They're like, we're not filming there.
Yeah. Fine.
Fine.
So then
Amy partied too hard. And the next day she's running really, really late to her internship. And it's not just like, this really stressed me out because it's not like she's running late to like be at the office. It's like she's running late to like meet Sharon.
With this art gallerist.
Yeah, to meet someone else. So it's just like extra bad of a look.
She runs up to the cab and she just, before she even gets in, she goes, "Hey, I'm late.
Hey, I'm late."
The cab's like, okay.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
She's like, hurry it up now. Gotta get across town.
Take it down Fifth Avenue, right across town.
So she has to go from the Upper East Side to Chelsea, which is truly like good luck.
No, I don't think she knew where. I think she took the cab from the Upper East Side to the George Washington, up to the up. She crossed town to the Upper West Side and then went over the George Washington Bridge and then into Jersey and then took it back and got to Chelsea. I think that was her route.
I'm truly unclear about like her entire like lateness to this day. And so is Sharon.
Sharon's like, the woman's like, is she late a lot? And she's like, yeah. And she goes, not in an endearing way. And Sharon goes, not at all. Sharon's not pleased.
Sharon's over Amy.
She's like, I'm really sorry that my intern is late. And the woman's like, it's okay. So then Amy comes bursting in.
Oof. And she goes, just shanks this meeting.
She goes, she walks in and she doesn't even introduce herself. She goes, God, it is so hard to get down to Chelsea from the Upper East Side at this time of day. And the women, Sharon and this woman, are just like,
Sharon's face is like
full of
she's confusion. Like incredulous that like Amy has the balls to come in here and even say something like that
or even speak.
Yeah,
she's like,
Amy at first is like kind of sheepish and then she's just like, I'm so sorry
Sharon,
it's impossible to get to Chelsea.
And she goes, by the way, I'm Amy. She's
it's just like, Amy, can't get it right.
And Sharon's like, I'm not like, oh, also Sharon's outfit in this. It was like a beaded, like, kind of flapper.
Pristine. At all times, Sharon's serving, like, high fashion.
She was like, Amy, this isn't going to fly if you keep doing this.
She gets a talking to from Sharon on camera about her chronic lateness.
Yeah.
And it's like,
If you can get your hair done 4 times a week, you can be on time to an unpaid internship.
Yeah. To meet, you literally had one thing to do today, and it was meet Sharon at this like gallerist thing to like chat.
Hey, I'm late.
Hey, I'm late.
I'm late. Taxi.
In 1939, when Amy was hailing taxis, it was much faster to get.
She had a whistle.
Sometimes she'd show a little leg. Yeah. If they weren't.
What do I have to do here? She showed
show my
leg.
Ankles. Yeah.
It's like she's wearing tights.
Her garter.
Yeah.
She stands over like a grate.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh.
Ooh.
What do I
work
have to?
For Maryland. Why not work for me?
A breeze over here. So then we cut to
Angela.
Angela is like, she goes, the theme of my show is going to be solitude and moroseness. And I said, sounds really fun.
Yeah. She's like, but with upbeat pops of color.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. So this is, nothing.
This is her it girl moment?
This is her it girl moment where she's going to celebrate. It's like, choose your fighter, Angela. Like, you're either like a goth, like depressed princess, or you're like upbeat, like avant-garde. It's like those two things aren't meshing.
Yeah, it seems like she's more upbeat avant-garde.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah, lean and I like it. Like her, you would think her photos would be like a celebration of life or like, but they're not. And so they're very like, because I think it's easy to take pictures of like depressing shit because the world is a very depressing place.
Well, as Chantel says later. yeah, but it was, I just, solitude and moroseness. I was like, great.
Fun concept.
Really fun.
Great. And it girl you shall be.
Yeah.
Like, no.
And then we cut to
Maggie and Ryan are packing.
She's going to Pennsylvania, where she's from, which I was like, I knew she has
you
that
knew
accent.
She was a Pennsylvania girl.
They live up by like Lafayette in like Allentown area.
And They just are like chaotic.
Ryan and Maggie?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like,
they're just like looking for stuff and like throwing stuff around. Like just like the lighting scheme in that apartment really freaks me out. That apartment, like all the decor really freaks me out. Like it's very Vanderpumpian, but like worse because it's in New York.
It's messy.
Yeah.
So they head on like a bus and they which I used to take the bus all the time back to New Jersey.
You know this.
I know it. And they go through Trenton and they cross over into Bucks County and they drive on through. And then she's like, when you cross this bridge here, you know you're here. You know you're where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan's like, okay.
And they go see Maggie's mom.
She's like, Maggie, my mom and my dad got divorced. My dad's family comes from a lot of but my mom is like...
not super rich.
But their house was like beautiful Victorian.
Yeah, their house was really nice.
It was like a gorgeous like Pennsylvania Victorian.
Her mom's like well off.
Yeah. Also, her mom looks younger than Maggie.
Yeah, her mom's very youthful.
I said her mom was Judy Greer. She was played
totally.
By Judy. She was like being played by Judy Greer, I think,
mm-hmm.
with a wig.
I felt kind of bad for Maggie when her mom's looking through the photo album and she's like, oh, that's when Maggie got pretty.
Yeah, that was weird.
It's like being like, you're fucking ugly until this time happened and like repeated it. And I was just like, oh, how many times has she heard this and like internalized that?
Yeah, there was like a little weird like...
even if it's a joke,
competitiveness,
it's not. Yeah.
That like mom, daughter, like...
mm-hmm.
It was weird. She was like, I just want my kids to be home. And then like, she's like... in the kitchen with her boyfriend and
her boyfriend who's like 89
and she was like, what, I knew New York was going to be too much for her. Like she seems like weirdly jealous of Maggie.
I think she's being told to say this stuff by a producer, or they're like prompting her to be like, how do you feel about your kids living in New York or something? And then she launches into this whole monologue that like felt very inauthentic.
Yeah, she was like...
like, you want your adult child...
I told her she
live here at home so you can cook for them all the time.
I just want to cook for her. I know Eli that... I know she's tired. She doesn't look good. She doesn't look happy. She's miserable. Her boyfriend's just like... brr.
But Ryan, I guess, is bonded with Maggie's mom and told her that he loved her before he told Maggie that.
Yeah.
They're fucking.
They're totally fucking. I wrote that.
He dicked her down something fierce.
We find out that Ryan's mom passed, so like he sees her as like a mom figure, but like they're also
like, how long have you been dating? Like you've been dating like 3 months.
Maggie's like, he actually told my mom that he loved her before he told me, which I was like, that's weird. I was like, yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm weirded out.
I'm weirded out too.
We're all weirded out.
This is bizarre.
911.
911.
911. 911.
So then...
Lewis, their dog, is a cutie, though.
He was really cute.
I love, like, when a dog gets mad like that.
He went...
like, at nothing.
He had, like, a human face.
Yeah. When dogs, like, that specific looking kind of dog gets mad at just, like, nothing, it is hilarious.
It was really funny.
Yeah. Lewis is a star.
So she's making them dinner. She has a little sister.
Her mom goes... I'm sorry, like after they're sitting in the living room, there's this moment where her mom goes, well, I'm sorry, things are bad and you're sad, but I gotta make something to eat.
and gets up and goes away.
Yeah, where I was like, she's not like, she doesn't wish that she was around more.
No. Yeah, they have like a weird relationship.
Like, some things are not being said.
I wrote sharp objects.
Oh, yeah.
Because the sister was kind of like Emma. She was like drinking wine at the table.
Mm-hmm.
Her little sister. Then they just like they sit at the dinner table and they talk about how like miserable Maggie is with Eli, and Ryan's like, I just want her to stop working. I don't think she needs to be in the art world. Like Ryan just wants her to like not do anything, I think.
I guess.
I think Ryan wants to move to Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Or he wants them to live in Pennsylvania. He can commute to New York and like do whatever finance shit he's doing.
Yeah.
It's all very unclear, and I'm also like, how much does her family know about her and Eli's relationship?
I think the mom might have a feeling.
Mom probably knows.
And the sister.
Because the mom brought Eli up.
Yeah.
Which is like...
she's like, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, like, why? Of course she doesn't want to talk about it. She was fucking him and like still has feeling. Her mom is a truly... her mom is chantaling her.
I forgot that she was like, I'm so... so sorry that you're sad and miserable, but I gotta go eat food.
Yeah. I have some dinner to make.
Come join us.
Sorry things are bad and you're sad.
Sorry things
bad
are...
bad things to do.
Sorry things are terrible in New York.
They do that one of those...
I love her house, though.
I love the house. They do one of those, like montage, like, audio montages where it's, like, everyone's droning on and on at Maggie, but then, like... It's like, you know, they just like mashed up like the same sentence everyone said like over and over. But there was a really good moment where Maggie's like mom's boyfriend just goes, small businesses. Like you hear all of it and then just like a little small businesses.
It was like a quilt of like.
Yeah. And I really lolled at that.
That moment. Was really funny. Also, they just kept pouring Maggie wine.
Maggie's like chugging Chardonnay.
Yeah.
Her, I get it.
Her like 11-year-old sister is drinking wine. Like it was
Maggie's good... home. I get to drink.
Yeah. I get to drink when Maggie's home.
Maggie says she just wants to get her number one job, QVC host.
Yeah. Well, that's like Pennsylvania. That's where the headquarters are.
Like you could do
Phoenixville.
That.
She could. And they all went, ah. Maggie's like, you know what my dream job is? And they all go, Maggie, and her mom's like, ever since you were, this is, I'm not real, but she's like, ever since you were a little girl, you've always loved QVC. It's
you
been
love
your dream.
It.
You can commute to Phoenixville from Easton. You can live here. You can host your own show.
Mm-hmm. Maggie goes, it's my dream job.
She's like,
it's become the running family joke.
Yeah, I know.
I would love to see Maggie hosting something on QVC.
Yeah.
It would actually be, that would be a study in solitude and moroseness.
Oh.
Meanwhile, at EOC, Lara reveals we owe more than we sold. And everyone is just like staring at each other. And they're about to host Suck Lord for a night.
And Chantel again says... like something about the regular customers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you don't have regular customers. You have people that walk by and look at Paimon.
Yeah.
And like the giant hat that looked like it was made medieval times.
Buy a sweater.
They want to buy a sweater or they just want to come on and like be like, wow, look at this picture of me in the silly hat and then go like get drunk at like a bar down the street.
Yeah.
No one is shopping or buying things from this place.
No. Your store is sucks. Failing. It sucks.
It's unwelcoming.
It's a bad place.
There's bad juju in there.
Yeah. When you enter and you're scowling at people, it makes people want to leave. Can you imagine walking into like a store and like you're like a day of shopping, just strolling along, you're really feeling
just, like, lost in the Lower East Side.
Coffee in one hand, you're lost and you just saw a fountain and now you go into a store, you see like a cute bag that you think you might like and then you turn the corner and Claudia, Chantal and Lara are just staring at you from a corner.
Yeah, Claudia's like
her stressed out energy is like, it's too much. She's you're like, instantly put on edge.
Someone's like, hey, how much is this? And Claudia goes,
Chantal. And then Chantal's like, I don't know, actually.
I'll have to go.
Are you going to buy it? Because if not, I don't really want to get up and like go look.
If you're not buying something, like you can leave the store, maybe. Because, like, we don't like loitering.
Yeah. And like, Lara just, like, doesn't make eye contact with you. Her hair kind of just, like, hangs in her face.
Laura's, like, the Nev.
Yeah.
It's like, the craft.
She's fully Nev.
She's, like, please take my scars.
Like,
with, like, her sleeves, like,
and that, like, kind of greasy hair in her face.
Chantal's Faruza.
Chantal's totes Faruza.
Yeah.
Claudia.
Is
Claudia's kind of a Robin Tunney.
For sure. Like, in her, like, most panicked phase.
Yeah. She's, like, hallucinating, like, snakes.
Yeah. Claudia's like, someone's like,
hallucinating bugs and snakes.
Every time, there have been people that come in to, like, try to buy a painting, and they're like, I have $7,000 I'm going to spend on this painting of, like, a cloud.
Claudia's like,
hey. And Claudia's, all of a sudden, she sees snakes coming out of his mouth, and she's like,
She just screams. Starts crying.
And she runs to the back of the store and the guy's like, okay, I'll go take my $7,000 elsewhere.
Because I won't be spending $7,000 today. Ooh, why am I yawning?
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh,
I got the yawns.
So then we cut to Maggie going to meet with this woman named Maya something. She's like...
Brenda Taylor.
Oh, Brenda Taylor. Her name is Maya.
Brenda Taylor Gallery. Brenda loves like a knit journey.
Brenda looked like Vanessa Redgrave.
She did. She had like knit fingerless gloves and like
It was cold in there.
It was cold in there, and she was just trying to stay cozy.
She's like, she seemed Nordic, so she was, I think she's like, I like it cold.
Yeah, I don't know what Brenda's deal was.
I don't think her accent was real.
I was like intrigued by her look was very like Midwestern. Uh-huh. In like winter time, because it was like
rich. At first, I was
like,
woman.
"Oh, she's like, she's a little bit like avant-garde or over the top." But then I looked, and she was wearing like a boot-cut jean with a pointy toe, like stiletto. And then I was like, "This is not adding up."
No,
for me.
Her feet are cold.
Brenda was like a woman who was visiting from Michigan, and then decided like no one in the gallery would talk to, and everyone was like, who is this lady? Ugh, and like went in the back. So Brenda decided to have a little fun and like take over the gallery.
And then
Maggie came in, she was like, I'm here for a job interview, and then she was like, oh, and then like cosplayed as like the owner.
And they were just all in the back, and then later
they're
all
in the back like talking shit about this like crazy woman.
And then later she had like a Margot Martindale and like Paris Chatham moment where she was like, I felt happy. Mm-hmm. Like she's like sitting in a park being like, after I masqueraded, like she's having like a transcendent moment where
she had like a total immersive New York experience where she got to be in charge of a gallery and like really imagine what her life would have been like.
So Maggie's trying to like break through and like get a job that pays. And so Brenda's interviewing her and she goes, so tell me some of your, I'd like the people that work here to know some like current artist. She goes, who is your favorite current artist? And she goes, I really like Banksy. And I was like,
do you hear yourself?
Did you even study art? I took a summer course in art history, and I feel like I know more than she does.
I don't know shit about art, truly.
I don't either.
What, like an app I downloaded tells me sometimes when I look at it. But I know enough to go into a job interview at this gallery and not say my favorite artist is Banksy.
The woman went, and she went, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, this woman...
Even Midwestern LARPer knew that, like,
oh, yeah.
Banksy was not the look.
For sure.
Also, it's like, Maggie just shanks this fucking job interview.
Yeah. She also was like, so they go up to, like, a painting.
The woman goes, not at all similar to the work here.
Yeah.
She goes, why don't you tell me what you think of this?
And it's a painting and it looks like a vagina.
It literally is like an installed vagina on the wall.
And she goes, what do you see when you look at it? And Maggie literally goes, and like puts her, like rubs her chin and ponders. And she goes, I like how the black texture on the back, like it looks like it was painted, everything else is painted on top of it. And the woman goes, what do you see when you look at like this red object? And Maggie doesn't say anything, and she goes, I don't know. And then the woman goes, well, I see a vagina. And Maggie goes, I don't know how she sees a vagina.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Maggie,
it's gonna be a rocky road.
That's
for
like,
you
also
like,
that's like,
duh, it's a fucking vagina.
Oh yeah. And also like that's such an, like just anything could be like, oh, I see a vagina in it, or like I see a dick.
Mm-hmm.
Like just say it.
Really think you're gonna like get a job here? Then she goes, the woman's like, well, we do sell a lot of like photography. And then Maggie goes, photography is my weak spot. And it's like, okay, well,
and the woman,
you're not hired.
And the woman went, okay, well, good luck to you.
Yeah. And then the interview was over.
Yeah. I think the woman went to like the Marriott Times Square.
Yeah.
And was like, I had a great day.
Yeah, she went to the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
She met her family. They like had gotten in like a fight earlier.
Oh my
her
God,
daughter
that's what
was
happened.
Like, stop embarrassing me, mom. Like, we're in fucking New York, like blah blah blah. And then she was like, well, I'm gonna go for a walk. Her feelings were really hurt. And then she wandered into this gallery and then they were so mean to her. And then she thought, you know what? It'll be my gallery for an afternoon.
It restarted her.
Yeah.
And then when she got back, her daughter was like, wow, mom, you look different. And she's like, thanks, honey. I do. And they went to Jekyll and Hyde for dinner.
Yeah.
The
Suck Lord show is getting set up at EOC, and Suck Lord's like putting all his shit on the wall.
He's a team. He's organized.
He's a full team that's like knows what to do to like make this happen.
He has 29,000 followers on Instagram. I looked up today.
Is currently?
Yeah.
How many did he have back in the day? More than them. Claudia's like,
I mean, we looked at EOC's Instagram and one of the photos has zero likes.
It's rough. Claudia still has her nose in the air about Suck Lord, and she's like, it's like, honey,
he's doing right by you.
He's literally
his army of like Suck Lord devotees.
You need to understand what that's like. And then she's like, you really don't care like who buys your art? And he's like, no, I just want to fucking sell it.
And she's like, wow.
She's like,
I guess we just do things differently.
Yeah.
It's called, so the show is called Occupy Cybertron. And
okay.
It's so he's doing a theme about like Transformers and the Decepticons being like, it's like, you know what? It's,
sure.
It's doing it.
Yeah. Do what you got to do.
I wrote, I don't think Claudia actually wants money.
No.
She wants pain.
She wants pain.
And stress.
And like stress. And like failure.
Yeah.
She wants to feel like a big loser at the end of the day. Yeah. At the end of this like try for the clothing store, she wants it to fail.
But it's not going to happen tonight because Suck Lord makes a shit ton of money for them.
Yeah.
He has people like, it's pouring rain and there's a line of
there's
people.
A line out the door in of, like, New York where in you have New to York. Like walk in the rain, which is the worst thing.
And all these people are like wearing masks and they're all like.
Everyone, they're fully immersed in the experience. He does a show. He lets people, he's doing like a whole performance art, like letting people in that are going to spend money. Then he has like an Occupy performance art. I didn't super understand it, but I was happy that it was happening.
Yeah, these like guys dressed like Occupy people burst in and then like they're like, you know, down with the 1%. And then Claudia and Laura and Chantal are just in the corner and they're like, we're going to get noise violations.
We should have told the building. And Claudia then, like tries to answer the phone.
Yeah.
And like can't hear anything.
Claudia can't stand that they're making money.
I know.
They're making so much money.
They're so like, she goes, I've never held this much cash.
Yeah. They make like $900 in cash.
Yeah.
From like an hour.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good for a night.
For going from a store that sold in 1 month like $2,500 worth of merchandise to this.
To $900 a night?
Yeah.
She's literally holding almost $1,000 of just like cash.
Cash.
That they can keep.
What an idiot.
Anyway.
By the end of it, she says, also it's like at one point she just like puts on a mask and is like dancing.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, Claudia like popped a Molly again.
Yeah. Chantal was like, I know what we need.
Chantal was like, I have Molly. Do you want some? And Claudia's like, yes. And then like they all just like put on masks and like dance. And then Claudia was like, you know, at the end of the day, I think Suck Lord and his crew are just like needy, nerdy improv kids. And she's charmed.
And then she goes, and then she's dancing and like having a great time. And then she looks over and she sees the Paimon statue and like the snakes are coming in.
And it's like, yeah, it's like face is like fully like melting.
And Claudia goes, ah! And runs out into the rain. And walks home.
Claudia, like, right before she sees, like, the snake face melt, she's, like, dancing and feeling free and, like, makes out with Suck Lord.
Yeah.
They, like, fully kiss. She, like, pulls him into a closet and they are, like, making out.
She's like, I love your tongue.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is Suck Lord's tongue. Say it. And she goes, Suck Lord, I love your tongue.
Suck Lord. He goes, call me Suck Lord.
He's like, I will be your servant forever. And she's like, great.
She's like, I fucking love it, Suck Lord.
Fuck you, Suck Lord. They're like together.
They are together. Yeah. They started texting after this night.
Suck Lord is like, I am bound to you for eternity. I will do your bidding. And she's like, great.
She's like, cool.
She's like embarrassed.
Mm-hmm. She can't show him to anyone, but they have the hottest sex.
Oh, it's like Charlotte and Harry when they first started fucking.
Yeah. I'll bet Suck Lord.
I bet he fucks.
It's Fuck Lord at the end of the day.
I think Suck Lord knows how to fuck.
Yeah.
I was like kind of into
Suck Lord. Any readers fucked Suck Lord? And if so, weigh in. Suck Lord
are we
fuck?
Way off?
Are we
getting fuck vibes from nothing? Or like,
or is like,
he Fuck Lord?
Is he Fuck Lord?
Because I think he is.
I totally think
I get like Lord Zed vibes from like Power Rangers, who like ultimate like daddy. I get that from Suck Lord.
I'm DTF with Suck Lord.
Me too.
So like email sexuniquepodcast@gmail.com with any Suck Lord intel.
Tell us. Let's have him on.
Yeah. Oh my God. He should be on the Gallery Gaze episode. One straight.
He's a straightie.
Chantal says, if Claudia can't figure out ways to make more money, I don't know how we're going to survive.
Which is true,
but then also being like, Claudia will be the death of us.
It's so she's everything. Chantal has like brainwashed Laura that if EOC fails, which as we know it did, it's going to be Claudia's fault.
Yeah, it will all be Claudia's fault, and she has no ownership or agency over any sort of failure.
Total patsy. So we cut to Angela setting up her show with Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Who
is your friend?
My New York
acquaintance from
New York. He was my friend in New York. He's great.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that you know. We know gallery gaze.
Jeff is great. He always does great Halloween costumes. And this other guy, Matt, who's this like amazing filmmaker who I knew, like he makes these, he like reveals Jeff's costumes with this really funny video that Jeff puts on Instagram. And one time he recreated the Summer Heights High, like Jemé, where she's like, like
yeah,
the stairs, like perfectly.
Oh my God.
And Jeff is Jemé. It was really funny.
That's really good.
He's great. You should follow him on Instagram.
What's his Instagram handle?
Jeff Dorsman.
Do it.
Follow. He's a cutie.
Angela is putting her pictures on the wall with like Velcro, and they take up a very small percentage of the space.
Right.
And she goes, "Do you think they're professional?" And then I just out loud, I go, "No."
What did Jeff say? He was like, "Yeah."
He was like, "Yeah." I mean, no one's going to. The thing about that is, like, everyone's like, we're just letting this happen, like, mm-hmm. and we have to get it over with. And what's weird is they were serving this vodka, Canon vodka, which used to be, I don't know what it was, but they sponsored, like, they were sponsoring all sorts of events like that. They sponsored the White Girl Problems Brook Party.
Really?
Yeah. It was like a vodka company.
Didn't
that
I go
like,
to that?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
They would just like give vodka, like tons of vodka to, I guess, who the fuck ever.
I think I drank it.
And then they went out of business and I was like, yeah, because you just like gave vodka away. Like, I don't think ever recall seeing that vodka for sale. It was just like at every event in that specific time zone.
Yeah, so they have like four bottles of vodka.
And like, I guess, soda water or something.
Angela's.
It's very much not an it girl type of event.
Angela brings her own camera to the party.
Yeah.
And she's like taking photos. She's doubling as the photographer for the party.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also another photographer for the party. So I don't know if it's some kind of like performance thing.
Maybe she just wants to document the night in her own terms because she's like, well, I really need to take photos if I'm going to be a photographer. Yeah. So this is seems like a good excuse.
She needs a role.
Yeah. She needs like more photos to put on a wall somewhere.
Yeah.
So.
So the show is called. Oh, wait. Isn't there something before this?
Oh, yeah, there was.
Oh, Carrie.
Amy and Carrie meet up.
Carrie goes to meet Amy at like some like Sarah Beth's or something, and like Alice teapot or something.
She sits down and Amy is like smiling, like with like a silly secret, and she is, "I just ate a pumpkin tart."
I just had a pumpkin tart. And Carrie's like, "I really want chocolate."
Carrie needs chocolate.
I need chocolate.
She's never needed anything more than
she
chocolate.
Goes, "Chocolate to the waiter.
Can you get just any
I just
of
need
chocolate?
Any just sort
anything
of chocolate.
Chocolate."
And Amy goes, So Amy gives her a list of things that Sharon has designated Amy to give to her, to Carrie, that Carrie needs to do, like intern tasks.
Yeah. That Amy's supposed to do, but she now is just like telling Carrie that she has to do them.
So Amy's like, I've been fucking up with Sharon. I'm going to just like shadow her and be up her ass and then give Amy or Carrie all my bitch work.
I don't even understand what her end game was.
No.
By doing
Did she
this.
Think that this was not going to like be get back to Sharon?
I feel like she, I don't know. I truly,
she's like, I've got a plan.
I can't get inside that head of Amy's.
She thought it was like a really like, well, I'm wily. That's what they say. I'm cunning.
I'll make Carrie do it.
I'll make Carrie do it. She won't know. I think, but Carrie like believes her and she's like,
okay.
She's like,
I guess I'll do this. Like
even more
if
work.
You're both interns. There's no intern hierarchy. Like you don't, you're not like the boss of another intern.
And Amy just flat out, this made me think Amy was like kind of a psycho.
Yeah.
She just flat out lies to Carrie and she's like, yeah, Sharon. And then Carrie's like, God, I have so much more work to do now. And then Amy goes, gotta keep you on your toes. And then Carrie's like, can I have some chocolate?
She's like, can I get a coffee? And then Amy is like, yeah, I want a coffee. It's just like she's fully like crossed over into like crazy zone.
Yeah, that she snapped.
Travel has caught up with her and it's actually like working its dark powers against her.
And being late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not working anymore.
It's not.
It's taken a dark turn. Amy's power hungry.
She is.
She's like, she looks at Karen and she's like, it's crazy. Like, you do this internship and you have a job. Like, how do you handle it? And then gave her all this other stuff.
I know.
And it's like, you're a henchman.
I got to keep you on your toes.
Okay.
But also, Carrie seemed a little sus of it, but she...
But she's, like, going to go along with it. Because she knows how it works, like, when you're in the real world, and she's just going to go straight to the source.
Yeah. Carrie's like, I'm gonna destroy you.
Yeah.
Literally, Carrie was like,
your days are numbered.
Your days are fucking numbered.
Say your prayers, bitch.
Say your prayers. I'm going to go to Sharon.
Yeah.
And be like, she told me to do this. Carrie, in her head,
Carrie's a million steps ahead of Amy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She already was, but now she's even more. Yeah. Maggie goes on another not a job interview.
Mm-hmm. This one's a little better, but it's just like, it's with an older man. And
she's like kind of blushing. It's like she and this older guy are having like flirty.
He's like, we try to be open as little as possible here. And Maggie's like, oh, good. And he's like, so why haven't you been with Eli for years and you're still an intern? And then Maggie's like, yeah.
2 years.
Yeah.
No one interns for 2 years.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, they seemed they had like weird energy. And he was like, God, you're delightful.
There was weird energy. And then because she has a pre-interview even before she gets to talk to him, where like the studio assistant like interviews her and she can't even utter like a single cohesive sentence.
No, and
she's just like kind of playing with her hair and it's like mumbling.
I don't think she studied art.
Yeah, the assistant gives up and just like walks away.
Yeah, she was like...
She's like, okay.
Yeah.
Maggie's really blowing these, like, from a very... It makes me worried about her because I'm like, she can't even do... Like, I feel like anyone should be able to just nail a job interview of that nature.
Yeah.
Like, you Google the place, look at the art, come up with some opinions, shower.
And talk yourself up a little.
Yeah, be like a person in the world.
And just say like, yeah, I've been hustling on the side, even if you haven't.
Yeah.
Because he's like,
kiss their ass and then like know how to answer questions to make yourself look good.
It was bad, but he bought it. Yeah. He was into her.
He's into her. I think she's like... She's very appealing to like that specific type of guy.
Uh-huh. Because she's kind of like...
She's a little secretary. Like, mm-hmm. She looked really good.
Yeah. She had great shoes on.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. So we cut to Angela's show, which she's calling... She goes, it's called Totally Not Depressed because everything's a facade.
And then she's like really up her own ass about... all of her own work.
She goes, it's teetering on the precipice of moroseness.
She says to that one guy that she asked to come over to like critique her stuff, and you can tell he's just like, okay.
He's like, wow, this photo's cool. It's like a grim old woman
with a donut.
It's like, I like the contrast. And she's like, my blog, it's called Totally Not Depressed because it's like my blog, and like we're all just like pretending that we're not depressed, but like we are. And it's like, okay.
I love her like realizations and how they like actualize as art.
It's like part of that whole shtick.
The most basic read on anything.
Yeah.
But it's also like an essential part of growing up. I feel like especially as like a creative or someone, you have this thing where it's like, God, everyone's fucking depressed. Like, life is really depressing. It's not just like all fun and games.
But she's like, it's all a mask. I was like, cool. All
right.
Great.
Okay. All
it's right. Like, it's basically like Netflix is my boyfriend.
Yeah. It's like when everyone got obsessed with pizza and like bacon that one year.
Oh.
It's just like enough.
Remember bacon?
Because bacon. Man, I fucking.
Because bacon. Remember when people just didn't... I feel like that's kind of died down, but there were, like, even until last year, it was like, because iced coffee.
Yeah.
Or like, because
there's always adulting. Some sort of like bacon type of thing.
Because bacon. It's like Anna Kendrick. Because bacon.
Yeah. Bacon, you know?
Bacon.
B- But you know who kind of was a henchman of the bacon movement?
Who?
Cara Delevingne. I remember she was very much...
Oh.
She was a big bacon
stan. She was.
She really made bacon a thing.
I mean, I like bacon.
I love bacon. Who doesn't? It's fucking delicious. But like, as liking bacon is not a personality trait.
Yeah.
Nor is liking iced coffee, nor is liking pizza.
I like those things.
I love all those things very, very much.
Oh, by the way, a true babe that everyone needs to watch is Kendall Jenner was in like a video for Kim's like body wear.
Mm-hmm.
She's in like a nude like
Skims or yeah. whatever the fuck they're called.
And Kendall does like, she's like, my name's Kendall. And she goes, my favorite body feature is my height.
Okay.
You have to watch it. It's just, I'm just like, can you please be anything but boring?
Can I also just say,
she is so boring.
I walked by Kendall Jenner once and maybe she had a growth spurt since then. But I am tall. I'm 5'11", officially. And Kendall is like 5'7", or 5'8". She's not that tall.
Really?
She was not that tall when I walked by her. Not, huh. This was like, this was a while back, maybe like over 5 years ago. So she very much could have had a growth spurt and now she's really tall. But I think she lies about her height.
I've seen her and she's really tall, but I believe it. You're tall.
I'm tall. And yeah. I was like, that's Kendall Jenner. And we walked past each other and I was like, damn, she's really short.
I mean, they're all short. Those they're all, like
Kim's like 5'2".
Kim's like 4'11", 5 foot.
Kim's like, if or I Courtney's, looked around,
I think Courtney's 5 foot.
Yeah. I would miss, they're like out of my field of vision.
Chloe's only like 5'7".
Chloe thinks 5'9".
Oh.
She's taller. Like, I've had someone that saw her IRL and confirmed, like, she is tall.
Yeah.
But she's, like, an anomaly. I feel like Kendall's height is listed as 5'10", but she is not 5'10". I promise you. People confirm or deny.
Bacon. Let's
start a movement. My height.
Because bacon.
Bacon. Am I right?
So then Chantal shows up with Spencer to Angela's show, and they're looking, and Angela and her boyfriend are flirting.
Yeah.
And he's like,
he says something. I forget. It was like benign, but obviously he like is into Angela and wants to have a threesome with her.
And Chantal goes, and under confessional, she's like, I mean, it's like enough already, like with your Asian fetish. And I was like, oh, ugh, God.
Jesus.
Stop.
Christ. Yeah. I just Googled Kendall's height. It's 5'10", which is a lie.
A lie.
A lie, say.
So then Chantal, to get her revenge on Angela and like not to be one to let someone have like their night in the sun.
No. Revenge is Chantal's middle name.
Chantal's like, you think you're going to have your little night in like,
oh, you finally got your field? Show together and put everything on the wall and
not
you're excited.
So fast.
Oh, that's sweet.
Chantal looks at her and goes, yeah, photography is like my least favorite medium.
She says, I find it easy to manipulate.
And Angela goes, oh, it's easy? Like, I was even like, fuck you, Chantal.
That's rude.
That was so mean.
You're a bitch.
Like, it might not be your, like, these photos might not be your gravy.
Keep it to yourself.
But, like, she did this all on her own.
She's your friend, too.
She put the things, yeah, your friends.
If you're really that good of friends with someone, you don't say that kind of shit to them at their opening night party.
And you also didn't even let her have your space. You didn't let her use EOC.
No.
So it's like...
I forgot about that.
She goes, and Chantal walks in, she goes, it's a perfect space. It's like, yeah, it's a lot nicer than your store.
Yeah.
And then I was like, honestly, that was... I've seen a lot of reality TV, and I thought that was one of the meanest things someone has done.
That was a mean moment.
Because like, Angela's like, she's not like my favorite photographer. But like, if she was my friend, I would be like...
You just keep your mouth shut about that kind of thing. And you just, even if you don't like it, you say, look, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
And you say, congratulations. That's what you say when you don't like whatever your friend has done. You just keep it positive and you don't have to weigh in on what you like and what you don't like. You just like are happy for them.
Yeah. I know. Buy one of her pieces.
Yeah. And then that's it.
I'd be like, Spencer, buy it.
$500? No way.
No, I wouldn't.
I'd
buy
be
it.
Like, mm-mm.
But like, it was just such a truly cruel, like.
It was mean spirited.
Yeah, and Angela looked really hurt.
And meant to tear her down.
Yeah. It was it was really mean.
Yeah.
So then,
not nice.
Claudia arrives with Laura.
Eli shows up.
Eli shows up.
They make fun of his hair again.
Maggie said he looks like Kramer from Seinfeld.
He lolled.
Liz shows up.
Is there. She makes her one moment cameo. She walks over from Occupy to like...
I came from Occupy for this. Maggie's like, cool.
Ever heard of it? And Chantal is like, yeah, actually.
Ryan's like, yeah, I see it outside. You know, I hate those guys.
Oh, yeah. Ryan beats up Occupy.
Yeah.
I'll bet he got in a physical altercation with an occupier.
Someone like threw piss at him and he was like, fuck you.
Yeah. He fully punched.
Make pretend.
I'm going to make pretend your face to fucking
vagina
and punch it.
You're like,
okay.
And the person's like, I'm.
They're like, okay, nitwit.
Okay, you, yeah.
Ryan killed like an occupier.
He did. He knows where
he
they
probably
went.
Killed several.
Yeah. Him and his friends.
Ugh. Oof, dark.
So then Amy shows up with that woman again.
Amy shows up with her saucy like, middle-aged Rhea. Friend. Rena. Rena's going to be furious.
Rena, come on, we're going down.
Amy puts on her checkered party dress.
We're going down to the Soho
to see an art show. Want to come?
Rena's like, sure.
It is like that scene in Mrs. Maisel where she like goes to the art show but then goes in the back room and buys that painting because she just likes it.
Yeah.
Do you watch that show?
I haven't watched...
I'm a huge Maiseler.
No, I love that. The first season I watched in like 2 days.
Yeah, the second one I think I watched in like one night. I was just like, more!
I need to return to it.
I fucking like mainline that jaunty dialogue. I love it so much.
Yes!
Mrs. Maisel.
Mrs. Maisel!
Went to win all the Emmys.
I love how she just like, everywhere she goes, she just somehow does like a stand-up.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love that her stand-up is not funny ever. Mm. I've never lolled once at any of her stand-up, but I love it for her.
I've lolled.
Sometimes when she gets like raunchy, I loll.
When she did her first set, where
she took a tit out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
Also, when she yelled at the guy for going to the bathroom during her set, that was funny.
There's some good moments, but yeah. Overall, I would say her comedy is not a super loll for me. But I'm here for her being like a successful, famous comedian in the show. And I love
her outfits.
Her outfits, and I love that actress.
Yeah, and I love the guy who plays Lenny Bruce.
Oh, he's so hot.
And I like the ex-husband.
He's hot, too, in his
he's
own,
cute.
Like, way. Ugh. God.
And then Amy comes. Carrie was there, but I didn't even see her come in.
Yeah.
And then Amy's got to go.
Amy's got to go.
Me and Rena got to go to Dorian's.
We got to run. Bye, love.
And then she goes... My heart goes out to Angela. I hope she succeeds.
Oh, when Amy's heart is going out to you, you're fucked.
Yeah. And then Claudia or Carrie leaves, and then Claudia goes, or Angela goes, more vodka. Woo!
And then Angela's like, I did it. And then they interview her, and she's like, well, if my parents were... If I was going to talk to them, like, they'd want to know how the show went, and I would say it went great, but then they'd ask me how many photos I sold, and I didn't sell any, so they would think it's a failure. And I'm like, guess what, bitch? It is a failure. If you made this show to sell your photos and be established as an it girl, and you accomplished neither of those things, then I would say this...
I'm
happy for you that you set out and achieved the goal of having a show.
If after what Chantal did to her, I was like, you did do it.
You did it. Yeah. You were team Ange.
So then it ends with Carrie confronting Sharon.
Oh, yeah.
And being like, so Amy gave me a list of tasks to do, and I don't think it was... I just wanted to confirm, like, did you tell her to do that? And Sharon's like, no.
Sharon also wearing the most insane outfit.
The best coat I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It amazing.
Like, must be like Prada.
Yeah. And neon green earrings.
Mm-hmm. And like a green sparkly eyeshadow.
And gold nail polish.
But looking immaculate.
Immaculate. Perfect.
With her like Jackie O haircut.
She was like, she's basically like.
Sharon's like, no nonsense. She's like.
She's like, I would tell you if I wanted you to do something.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hierarchy. Amy as a child.
She's like, I'll deal with it. Don't worry, I'll deal with it. Where you just know Amy's about to get fucked.
Yeah.
And rightly so.
She's like, makes me glad not to be 28. And she goes, or 13 in her case.
Yeah. Sharon's had enough.
She's had enough of Amy.
You don't pull shenanigans around Sharon and get away with
insane.
It.
Insane.
No, it was out of line. Next week, Basel.
We're headed to Miami next week, guys.
We're headed to Miami to and we go might have a to special the one guest. And only Art Basel. Ooh, yeah.
An expert on
all things
Art Basel.
And Basel. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being my number one gallery ghoul.
My sickly sister and ghoulish gab. Wait, really fast. I heard today that they're coming out with a lady Monopoly.
What do you mean?
It's a Monopoly for women. Like the game.
I love Monopoly.
Yeah.
I've been playing a man's Monopoly this entire time.
I know. I didn't think it was like...
I guess there's something,
but like, anyway, just want to hear...
What, they're like high heel? They're like, it's
no,
pink.
It's like something about like the pink. Women make more than the men in the game.
What?
I don't know.
Oh my God. Well, we have the bonus episode to get into that.
Yeah.
And do some research and more talking. If you want to listen to the bonus, you can do that by pledging $5 a month on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. And yeah, that's all she wrote.
Follow me on Twitter at eCarryO.
Follow Carry on Twitter. He's fucking hysterical.
No!
Follow me at Lars Marie. I tweet every once in a while.
You have good tweets.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye.